NFL, NHL, Major League Baseball, NBA, and NCAA. Your home for live sports is AM 950 and 95.7 FM. The sports leader, ESPN Rochester.
You're in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia with everything you need to know in advance of Sunday's Bills-Bears game with the latest from One Bills Drive from the Athletic Buffalo. Matthew Fairburn, Fairburn Friday. Matthew, how you been?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
Matthew, great to talk to you on a Friday, as always. Not your typical Friday, I guess, when it comes to the quarterback situation. We still don't, correct me if I'm wrong, have an official starter for Sunday. But tell us about what you saw, what you know about Josh Allen's return to the practice field today.
Yeah, he had his helmet and he was at practice, but Friday, as it works out, is the day that we only get to watch about 5 minutes. So he stretched with everybody else. He had his helmet like everybody else, but we don't know for sure that he was throwing. Sean McDermott did say yesterday that he's getting closer to that point. They still don't think surgery is really in play here, and it's looking like he'll make a return at some point. Obviously, he's still out for this game. I wouldn't be surprised if he's also out next week and then maybe after the bye. That's an educated guess. I think just the way this thing's progressing, if he did throw today, then, we'll see how he responds. And, maybe that'll paint a clearer picture of where he's at going forward. But certainly a step in the right direction today, at least getting in a limited practice.
Matthew, given some of the comments made by Brandon Bean about this injury specifically, Gene will point out that Brandon referred to it as a baseball injury, or that he hasn't officially ruled out that surgery might be a possibility. Do you get the sense that this injury might be worse than the Bills have been letting on all this time?
I don't think so necessarily. I think it's a weird injury and a unique injury, and so there's a lot unknown and there's a lot left to healing and rehab and, seeing how the elbow responds. It's a different injury than you usually see a quarterback get because of the way that he was hit and the fact that he was throwing while he got hit. So I don't necessarily think it's worse. If he ends up, missing the season or something, I don't think it will be because, they knew that all along. I think a lot of this is, contingent upon how he responds to certain treatment, how he responds to practice time. And honestly, I think them not ruling, out the possibility of surgery or him being out for the year is more just not, that's just logistics, I think, at this point. I don't think it's a serious fear of theirs, but they're, football people can very much get into the never say never, motto and not wanting to rule anything out so that they don't get caught with their foot in their mouth later on. But I would expect him to return at some point. I mean, all along we knew this was somewhere in the 3 to 6 week range. This will be the third game he'll miss. Next week would be four. Then they have the bye week. So that would put him right in that range. So I don't think it's necessarily worse than they let on, but I think it was a fairly serious injury when it happened.
Matthew Fairburn from The Athletic as Sunday the Bills taking on the Bears. What do we know about Derek Anderson? So Derek Anderson listed as questionable, concussion protocol. What phase in the protocol is he in? Do we know that right now, Matthew?
We don't, but the fact that he hasn't returned to any limited practice tells you that he's not super far along in the protocol. Of course, last week, LeSean McCoy also didn't clear concussion protocol until Monday, for the game. So that's, still a possibility here for Derek Anderson. But what's working against him, I did not see Derek Anderson out at practice at all week. Tremaine Edmonds was out there, and he's also, dealing with a concussion and left the game on Monday. LeSean McCoy was out there last week when he was able to clear it. So I didn't see Derek Anderson out there at all. I think he was in the locker room at one point, but the fact that he's not out there, on the practice field in any capacity, even just standing there watching, I think, kind of tells you where he's at, because there's various stages. There's little things that you can and can't do in each stage. And if he can't even be out there, then I do wonder if it's realistic. Not to mention, even if he does clear concussion protocol on Sunday, he hasn't practiced all week, and it's not like he's been in this offense for years and years. He just got here, you know, a month ago. So I think it would be very tough to expect him to play on Sunday.
Matthew, we joke. We say that Derek Anderson is like Dante from Clerks, and as he was veering right away from Devin McCourty and trying to make a tackle on that pick six, that you could almost hear him say, I'm not even supposed to be here today. Veer right and just keep running and run as far away as you can. Like I believe that we've seen the last of Derek Anderson behind center. I don't want to ever say ever with this team because you never know. But with Nathan Peterman, all likelihood being the starter on Sunday, and a guy who's yet to complete a game that he has started, I'm more interested in what we have in Matt Barkley coming in off the street. What do we know about Matt Barkley and his preparation for Sunday? Because let's face it, I mean, if history holds serve, we're going to see Matt Barkley at some point on Sunday.
Yeah, that would be something. He doesn't exactly seem like a guy that's overly, I don't want to say he's not overly prepared. It's not any fault of his own. But he's certainly not going to be ready to be a starting quarterback on Sunday. And I think they've given him some reps in practice this week. And that's kind of an interesting deal that Sean McDermott, you know, let out of the bag a little bit today. But still, he's running scout team mostly. And the fact that he just got the playbook on Wednesday, he was not talking like a man who was super confident that he'd have his whole head around it by Sunday. I mean, Terrell Pryor got here around the same time and said, you know, sounds really confident with it. He's a wide receiver, a little bit different, but just the tone that they both took was drastically different. Let's also not forget Matt Barkley. He also kind of stinks, right? He's got what, 8 touchdowns, 18 interceptions in his NFL career.
Yeah.
He's not exactly, you know, the guy that everybody thought he was coming out of USC all those years ago. So, yeah, I mean, there's an outside shot we see him because, like you said, Nathan Peterman, when he starts games, doesn't finish them. I don't know that he would get yanked from this game, but I've seen stranger things happen with Peterman, so I guess we'll see what happens.
Matt, I don't think I'm putting you on the spot because I know you're somebody that covers the NFL draft, and you go back to Matt Barkley when he was in college. I just recall thinking, wow, there is a great quarterback prospect, and then he comes back the next year. It hasn't been right. I mean, where did it go wrong for this guy?
I think he was overinflated as a prospect that junior year. I think there, you know, everybody made a big deal when he came back to school, but I think there's a reason that he did. I think he knew, you know, he wasn't going to be a super high draft pick. He's not super tall. He doesn't have an incredibly strong arm, and both those things kind of hold him back, I think, a little bit. You know, he's tall enough, but I just think the arm was never there for him. And I think he, you know, the NFL kind of saw through that. That was a really bad quarterback draft too. So if there was ever a year where he would, you know, be bumped up the board a little bit, that would have been it. But I think it was just a matter of big-time recruit goes, puts up some numbers at USC and wins some games, and people assume it'll translate to the NFL. But we've seen, you know, the Brady Quinns, the Jimmy Clausens of the world, you know, when the arm strength is lacking, you know, sometimes that limits what you can do on the football field. And I think that's mostly been the story for Barkley. And he maybe is used to doing things, you know, or was used to doing things in college that his arm, you know, just can't cash those same checks in the NFL. And that's how you end up turning the ball over as often as he has.
That was 2013, right? Well, that was the EJ Manuel draft. Because if you're that whole draft was terrible. That was Geno Smith. Did any good quarterback come out of that draft at all, Matthew?
I don't think that. I mean, Geno Smith, I think, was the best of the bunch technically. It was a bad year. I'm trying to think of somebody else who may have popped up. I mean, Tyler Wilson was that year, and he flamed out really quickly. Zach Dizer, Tyler Bray, still in the league. There were a lot of underwhelming quarterbacks. Ryan Nassib was that year as well. Mike Glennon, I believe, was that year too. So it was. It was a whole cast of underwhelming players, and in Bills fashion, they, you know, grabbed one in the first round, and you know, Then the following year, in a historically good wide receiver class, traded up to make sure they got the first one and picked the wrong one.
Yeah.
So, I guess that's the Buffalo Bills draft history in a nutshell.
Matthew Fairburn of The Athletic joining us for his Friday visit in the sports bar, Danger and Battaglia on ESPN Rochester. Matthew, let's talk a little bit more about the other new acquisition for the Buffalo Bills this week, Terrell Pryor coming in. I'm curious a couple of things. One, based on his comments with you guys, with the media, and every comment that he's made, he's not short on confidence. I'm curious about how his mindset is going into this game. It seems like he's hell-bent on making sure Nate Peterman looks good on Sunday. And the other thing I'm curious about with Pryor specifically is what his gone wrong with him with all of these other teams. He hasn't been able to stick on since having a really good season 1 year in Cleveland.
Yeah, it's been a weird road for Terrell Pryor. He hasn't really been able to find a home in the NFL over the last couple of years. I think, you know, the weird situation to me was the ending in Cleveland and not getting a big contract after having the 1,000-yard season. I don't know exactly why that happened, but then he gets to Washington and you know, he had that ankle injury, which was a pretty nasty ankle injury that he made worse by playing through it for six to eight weeks or so. And that was a pretty gnarly injury that I think even still to this point, you know, there's certain things he has to be mindful of because of that injury, just in terms of wear and tear and what he's doing during the week to get treatment and make sure he's good. So that, I think, is what caused him to have a bit of a slower offseason. Then he signs with the Jets. And the Jets situation is another weird one because he had a groin injury, but it wasn't anything that was going to cause him to miss games. And they cut him, claimed they wanted to bring him back, but never really made too strong of an effort to do so after he got healthy. So I'm curious to see what he can do. I mean, he's a guy who brings an element of speed that I don't think they have in their wide receiver room right now, and he's got height to go along with it, and he's got some production in his NFL career. I mean, at this point, well worth any risk involved. I mean, there's a lot made about Pryor's personality. He's been labeled soft. He, you know, had the whole ordeal at Ohio State. I don't know how much of it I buy, to be honest with you. I don't obviously know the guy super well at this point, but I think there was a lot made about nothing at Ohio State. And I think he certainly has a weird knack for, you know, having guys around the league say nasty things about him. I mean, Pac-Man Jones was calling him garbage a couple of years ago. Janoris Jenkins and Pryor had a big Twitter spat at one point. So, you know, there's guys around the league that have something out for Terrell Pryor, but who knows? Maybe this will be the place where it clicks for him and he finds a home.
Talking to Matthew Fairburn from The Athletic here in the sports bar, Fairburn Friday. Well, we may not see the middle linebacker, the rookie for the Buffalo Bills this week, Tremaine Edmonds, also on the other side with Anderson, the concussion. So I guess we're to assume he's not cleared right now there, Matthew. So if not Stanford at middle linebacker, how big a drop-off is that for Buffalo?
I would say that's a fairly big drop-off. I mean, they picked Tremaine Edmonds in the first round for a reason. We've seen some of that on the field, you know, just the range that he has and the length that he has to get into passing lanes. And, you know, he's been making some plays behind the line of scrimmage. He hasn't been perfect by any means. He's a 20-year-old rookie, so some of that's to be expected. But I think there's a pretty substantial drop-off between him and Julian Stanford, who's just not the same athlete, not the same. You're not going to get the same highs that you get out of Tremaine Edmonds. But I thought he filled in okay last week, and it's not, I don't think, you know, the worst situation in the world. I wouldn't expect this defense to fall apart without Tremaine Edmonds in the middle, but they're certainly better off if he can clear the protocol by Sunday afternoon.
Bills defense performed admirably on Monday night against the Patriots. Matthew, I'm curious, you know, what matchups can that defense exploit? Chicago down one of their star offensive linemen and Kyle Long. Mitchell Trubisky hasn't exactly always been protective of the football. I mean, really, when it comes down to it, for the Bills to have any chance of winning in any game, not just on Sunday, I mean, it really is going to have to be the blueprint that they laid out in Minnesota, where they're getting a lot of turnovers and taking advantage of those turnovers.
Yeah, exactly. And I think with the young quarterback playing on the road, you have a chance to make that happen. Trubisky doesn't take a ton of chances with the football. He's been okay at limiting interceptions and relies on the short game for the most part. They're probably going to have to knock a couple fumbles out, intercept a pass, do something to spark a field position change or even score themselves. I think they match up pretty well with the Bears. The Bears offense has been somewhat productive, a little bit hot and cold this year. Trey Burton is probably the number one guy to worry about, but I think Matt Milano can handle himself in that matchup. And then, you just have to worry about if it is Julian Stanford, if he has to help out on Trey Burton, what that might do to maybe, hurt the Bills defense a little bit. But I think for the most part, this is a young quarterback. They shut down Tom Brady. They mostly limited Aaron Rodgers. They should be able to do the same to Mitch Trubisky, provided that they're on their game. I mean, they haven't been on their game each and every week, but for the most part, since those first two games, this defense has looked pretty good. I think the one challenge they really have is the scheme, and that's a good one that Matt Nagy's drawn up in Chicago, but they handled it well last year in Kansas City, when he was the offensive coordinator there. So I would expect they can limit this offense to, 17 or fewer points.
Matthew Fairburn from The Athletic. Matt, we haven't even talked about the trade deadline that came and went. How about LeSean McCoy and the comments from Brandon Bean telling the Buffalo News, I believe it was, that LeSean McCoy will be a part of this 2019 team. Do we take Brandon Bean at face value at this point, Matthew?
I think so. I mean, there's a lot of time between now and the start of the 2019 season. So I think, a lot can change and a lot can happen. But this is something Joe Biscali and I were talking about on our podcast a couple weeks ago was, when we're discussing the trade deadline, I mentioned that one of the reasons they might be hesitant to move him is because, a lot of us assume that he'd be gone after 2018, but it's a real possibility that he's in their plans. They still think he can play. He probably can still play. He's somewhat affordable. They have all this cap space. I mean, he makes a lot of money, but when you have as much cap space as they're going to have next year, you don't necessarily need to get rid of him. So when Brandon Bean said that, I thought it made some sense because that explains why you wouldn't be eager to trade him, right? If you're still wanting to have him around in 2019 as part of what could be a much more productive offense, if you add some pieces, why create another hole? If you still think a 31-year-old LeSean McCoy can be effective for you, there's reason to keep him around because you don't need to get rid of that contract. It's not a terrible contract when you have as much space as they're going to have, and then you can be done with it after that. Maybe you draft a young running back next year as well and, platoon him with LeSean McCoy. It makes some sense. Obviously, a lot can change between now and the start of 2019, but I wouldn't be surprised at all to see McCoy, still in a Bills uniform.
Yeah, and a lot can change, and a lot has changed. I mean, this league has changed to more of a pass-heavy league, and I think it's extended and prolonged the life of some of these running backs. You see it around the league with Adrian Peterson in Washington. You've seen it in Miami with Frank Gore still being a productive part of the Dolphins' offense. It isn't a stretch to believe that McCoy could be around and be productive in 2019, and if anything, be a mentor for a young running back coming in.
Yeah, and I think, even those running backs you talk about, Frank Gore and Adrian Peterson, I mean, those guys play a punishing style at the position. LeSean McCoy does not.
Correct.
He doesn't take a lot of direct hits and, take a lot of beating as a result. So I think there's all the more reason to think he could survive in some role. Maybe you draft a running back that is a bit more of a physical runner and you use LeSean McCoy in the slot some as a wide receiver and just find different ways to get him involved. I think, it makes a lot of sense just when you think about the fact that, again, they're going to have so much money. Why create another hole for the sake of it? So long as you think he can still play and so long as everything checks out with him off the field in the offseason as well.
Matthew, tell everyone what are you working on, and then Monday morning or Sunday night, certainly recommended listening to the podcast with you and Joel. Tell everybody about that as well.
Yeah, you can find all of our work at theathletic.com/bills. I wrote a story about Terrell Pryor this week. Tim Graham has been hard at work on a few pretty cool stories that are in the works, and we'll obviously have a ton of game coverage Sunday night into Monday morning as well. And you can find the podcast if you search the Bills Beat on any of your favorite podcasting platforms.
Matthew, you're the best. We always appreciate you giving us some of your time on a Friday. Hope you enjoy your weekend. Talk to you next week.
You bet. I'll talk to you guys soon.
You got it. Matthew Fairburn of The Athletic joining us, as always, here in the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia.
The 2013 draft class came up because part of that draft class was Matt Barkley. You want the list of quarterbacks here?
Hang on. Let me get the bucket over here.
Yeah. The Bills had the good fortune to take the first one, that being E.J. Manuel. Followed by Geno Smith.
By the way, just really quick, right now EJ Manuel would be a preferred choice at quarterback for the Buffalo Bills.
So too would Geno Smith.
Yeah.
Yeah. So too would Mike Glennon.
Oh, God, I'm sick.
EJ Manuel, Geno Smith, Mike Glennon, Matt Barkley, Ryan Nassib, Tyler Wilson, Landry Jones, some guy named Brad Sorensen, Zach Dicer, BJ Daniels, somebody named Sean Renfrey went to Atlanta in the seventh round. Those were the quarterbacks taken in 2013.
Just a list of suck. Wow.
Yeah.
But I would take a couple of those guys over what we have this weekend. Wow. All right, let's get to NFL appetizers next in the Sports Bar, Danger and Battaglia. We serve up today's top NFL stories in bite-sized form. We'll go over those quotes from Brandon Bean on the future of Shady McCoy. A little recap of last night. If you watch Thursday Night Football and you're a Bills fan, you're probably scratching your head wondering why. Why? How? Why? That's coming up and more. Also, the status of a couple of stars from Sunday's games. We'll get to that next with NFL appetizers. It's brought to you exclusively by Alex's Place. Alex's Place, making mouth-watering barbecue baby back ribs for over 25 years. Online at alexsribs.com.
Rochester's most listened to sports station invites you into the locker room at ESPNRochester.com. Our little tribe of super fans, sports junkies, and competitive degenerates. Join now for breaking news updates, free tickets and prizes, game highlights, player and expert interviews, and unprecedented access to the best that ESPN Rochester has to offer. The locker room at ESPNRochester.com. Free to join and packed with action. From AM 950 and 95.7 FM, the sports leader, ESPN Rochester. The all-new ESPNRochester.com is the online home of the sports leader. Listen live 24-7. Read up on the latest Bills and Sabres news. Hear the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. On demand. Score stories, opinions, and contests. The all-new ESPNRochester.com. The online home of AM 950 and 95.7 FM. The sports leader, ESPN Rochester.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.